first, two of Wisconsin's big three in Republican politics have stepped away from the national stage or are about to. Reince Priebus resigned as chief of staff for the Trump administration last year. And earlier this month, House Speaker Paul Ryan announced that he will not run for re-election in November and doesn't expect to ever run for office again. Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's with us now to look back at the Cheesehead Revolution and discuss the political forces that may be bringing it to a close. Craig, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you.
So remind us, what was the Cheesehead Revolution?
So it was a name that got attached to these three men from Wisconsin who became leading Republican figures nationally. I think it all came together after the 2010 election when Scott Walker got elected, and then you had Paul Ryan continuing his ascent in the Republican Party in Washington and eventually being tapped as Mitt Romney's running mate in 2012, then eventually becoming the House Speaker, and Reince Priebus, who became, after chairing the state party in Wisconsin at a time when the state party was making big gains, then became chairman of the national party, endured some bumps, but his party eventually triumphed in 2016, and then he became White House chief of staff. So, you know, partly just the coincidence of having these three figures, similar generations, guys who were friends and came up together, ascending together from one state, experiencing a lot of political success, and now in the Trump era going through some downs as well as ups.
So they had some kind of basic, almost demographic things in common, but what about ideology? Where did they meet on points of agreement?
I would say all three of them, you know, in some ways were fairly orthodox Republican conservatives, kind of. I think all thought of themselves as in the tradition of Ronald Reagan Republicanism. And by that, I just mean, the classic triad of conservative on social issues, conservative on national security issues, and conservative on economic issues, particularly on the economic front, smaller government. In some ways, conventional conservatives, but what they did, particularly Ryan and Walker, is they really pushed the envelope in trying to realize some fairly bold policy goals that maybe had been conservative goals in the past, but people didn't really think they were achievable. And the classic example in Walker's case was his big fight with the public sector unions. And doing a lot of things beyond that in Wisconsin that were on the conservative wish list. And in Paul Ryan's case, not necessarily having policy success with all of his ideas, but he certainly took what was considered kind of a third rail issue, like entitlement reform, and made it more of a mainstream position within the Republican Party. And so I think of them as being pretty bold in their political and policy ambitions and having some success both personally and particularly in the case of Walker and also Priebus, political election success as well.
So the three of them were on a national stage at the same time, Walker obviously being governor, but getting a lot of attention nationally. What drew national Republicans and the party as a whole to this particular brand of kind of heartland conservatism?
Again, I think part of it was just the political success they had. Walker became sort of a darling of the Republican Party as a governor because of his huge fight with Democrats and because of his sort of MO of really pushing the envelope and winning and kind of withstanding the blowback and taking a state that is a purple state, but a state where Democrats have had their share of success and certainly had been voting consistently Democratic for president, and then just bringing his party to a new level of dominance in that state and kind of a take-no-prisoners approach tactically and strategically as well. So I think that, that was kind of became sort of a model. You saw some other states doing, Republican governors in some other states trying to do some of the same things. And again, in Paul Ryan, over the long arc of his young career, kind of became the point man in his party on budget issues, on fiscal issues, a spokesman for his party, and then again, obviously leading to his ascendance as House Speaker. Although first to the Republican presidential ticket as Mitt Romney's running mate in 2012.
We're talking with Craig Gilbert right now. He's Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. And we're talking about whether the cheesehead revolution has come to an end, or at least is in a low point right now. And Craig, what was the first sign that maybe this triumvirate of these conservatives from Wisconsin who were, you know, getting a lot of attention on the national stage might not have the staying power that we thought?
Well, I think in the case of Paul Ryan, you know, the jury has always been out about whether some of the boldest policies he was pursuing were popular in a broad sense. And so one sign was when the Romney-Ryan ticket not only lost nationally, but lost in Wisconsin in 2012, handily. So Paul Ryan's, you know, kind of the degree of popularity he had in Wisconsin certainly wasn't enough to overcome Barack Obama's popularity in the state. Then you had Scott Walker's, you know, presidential run starting in 2015, and really two chapters of that story. I mean, he came out of the gate, and for some of the reasons we've been talking about, became kind of a, you know, almost like not a front runner, but just kind of this ascendant figure in the Republican primaries in the pre-election year. It's what they call the invisible primary, when nobody's really voting, but it's all about media, it's all about attention, it's all about the activists. And if you remember, Scott Walker, you know, looked like kind of a shooting star there for a while until Donald Trump came along and was utterly eclipsed by Donald Trump to the point where I think he only made it through two presidential primary debates and ended up having to drop out of the race, being kind of driven from the race by Donald Trump. Really couldn't compete with Donald Trump on a personal level. And also, you know, one of the takeaways from Scott Walker's failed presidential bid was some of us thought that whoever the Republicans nominated in 2016 would be a conservative who sort of checked all the conservative boxes, who was more orthodox in their conservatism. And Scott Walker certainly did that, and to no avail. I mean, utterly eclipsed by Donald Trump, this unconventional, obviously a political outsider, but also someone who, you know, who was not a conventional conservative in a lot of ways. And you really saw that contrast when Donald Trump came into Wisconsin and campaigned for the Wisconsin presidential primary in the spring of 2016 and just ran into all sorts of flack from conservative talk radio, didn't do very well in the Wisconsin primary before kind of resuming his march to the Republican nomination. So those were some of the bumps, some of the signs, and then obviously as Trump ascended, each of these three figures went through their own, you know, they kind of went through the Trump, you know, kind of storm in their own way and encountered a lot of turbulence as a result.
Well, and it seems like Reince Priebus was viewed as possibly someone who could rein in Donald Trump a little bit, or at least be, you know, some kind of a Trump whisperer, and that didn't work out too well.
No, and he's an interesting case. Again, he's different from Walker and Ryan in the sense that he's not an elected politician. He's not a, you know, he's somebody that was more of a nuts and bolts Republican fundraiser and organizer. And I think you could certainly give him some of the credit in the 2016 election for building kind of an infrastructure in the Republican Party when it came to data, when it came to the ground game, certainly when it came to fundraising. And to the point where, oddly enough, because Trump was such an outsider, Reince Priebus was seen coming into the Trump presidency as like the Washington insider, when he really wasn't even a Washington insider. He was a guy that had worked his way up through the party at the local and state level in Wisconsin, had not spent a whole lot of time in Washington, and the sum total of his Washington experience was really as chairman of the Republican National Committee. So in retrospect, you know, his troubles as White House Chief of Staff, I think, went beyond just trying to manage the unmanageable president of Donald Trump, but also just the fact that he really didn't have that longevity and background in Washington that people ascribe to him, but in relation to a lot of the other Trump people, he kind of looked like the quintessential insider.
We're talking with Craig Gilbert. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's with us to talk about the Cheesehead Revolution, now that two of its biggest stars either are no longer on the national stage or are planning to step back. And we want to hear from you. Were you a conservative excited about the rise of Wisconsin Republicans? What do you think about the changes they've made during their time in power, and what happens now? Call in and tell us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation now about the Cheesehead Revolution with Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we want to know what you think. What do you think about the change in the Republican Party under President Trump? Do you think it hasn't changed that much, or has it changed too much? Are you satisfied with what the Cheesehead Revolution was able to accomplish? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. So, Craig, now Paul Ryan has announced he will not seek re-election. Ryan's Priebus is working as a private citizen again. Is the Cheesehead Revolution over on the national scale?
Well, I mean, one big part of the story that hasn't been written yet is sort of what happens to Scott Walker this year. I mean, he's on the ballot. He's running for a third term. It's his fourth statewide election when you add the recall election into the picture. And yet, he faces his toughest kind of election climate ever, largely because of the Trump presidency. It's always harder when you're a governor to win when your party is in the White House. And not only that, but you've got a president who's got relatively low approval ratings and is motivating Democrats like crazy. These are things that have complicated Scott Walker's reelection bid. So, you know, we're not going to know until November whether this is the end of Scott Walker's pretty remarkable reign as governor of Wisconsin, or whether he is a guy that survives the early stages of the Trump presidency and keeps on going. You know, Paul Ryan did not survive the Trump presidency. Paul Ryan's probably the first shoe to drop. The first thing that kind of spelled defined the end of his career in Congress was his willingness to become speaker. Speakers don't last very long. And then the second thing was Donald Trump's winning the Republican nomination. The third thing was Donald Trump getting elected president. That created an environment where Paul Ryan's kind of days were numbered, and now he's looking, you know, he was looking at a situation where the Republicans might not even hold their majority. Not a very attractive prospect for him continuing his speakership when the speaker is whipsawed between kind of the Trumpiest elements of the Republican Party and other factions in the party. So let's stay tuned and see what happens to Scott Walker and whether all three of these guys are going to be off the stage by next January.
Well, and clearly the factor that has really driven all three of those storylines, Walker not making it very far at all in the Republican primary, Paul Ryan announcing his retirement, Ryan's Priebus being out of the White House, is Donald Trump. Is this more mismatch in style or in substance between this Cheesehead Revolution, you know, kind of philosophy and Donald Trump?
Well, I think both things are going on. I think you can overstate the substantive differences in some respects, although they are real. Donald Trump has departed from conservative orthodoxy on issues like trade and to some degree on immigration, even though there's always been a constituency within the Republican Party for his positions on those issues. So there are substantive differences. There's huge stylistic differences in that, and those are important too, because it's not just about personality. It's also about the message you're sending, your vision for the future of the Republican Party. I mean, just to bring Ryan's Priebus back into the discussion, if you remember, after the 2012 defeat of Mitt Romney, Ryan's Priebus, as chairman of the Republican National Committee, commissioned a postmortem on that defeat, and one of their conclusions was the Republican Party needed to do better with Latino voters and needed to get behind a comprehensive solution to the immigration problem. That was done before Donald Trump ended up taking the party really in the opposite direction. So there are important policy differences, but there's also an element, to some degree, this is kind of just a story of disruption and turbulence and turmoil emanating from Donald Trump's style of leadership.
Let's take a very quick call from Joan in Eau Claire. Hi, Joan.
Good afternoon. These Republicans being in office has been a disaster for middle-class people. They've done everything they can to abolish unions. They've slashed funding to public education. They've rolled back environmental regulations, and that includes the damage that Scott Walker has done in Wisconsin. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thanks, Joan. Craig?
So it's another reason why it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Walker race. We don't know who the Democratic nominee is going to be. We don't know how strong the Democratic nominee is going to be. But already we've seen Scott Walker kind of zig to the center a little bit on some issues where he's kind of vulnerable in this environment. Healthcare and education are two of them. After cutting education in the state, he's put some new money into education. And he's done some things on healthcare that are kind of widely seen in Madison as efforts to kind of appeal to some of the same kinds of moderate, suburban, and other voters who are fretful about Donald Trump and who weren't crazy about all the things that Scott Walker did in his earlier budgets. I mean, part of Scott Walker's plunge in popularity after 2015 involved his failed presidential bid, but also he had submitted a budget that was not particularly popular with the public in Wisconsin. So he's done a little bit of a course correction in that respect. And one of his strategies for surviving the Trump midterms is, along with trying to mobilize Republican voters, and in some ways, even mobilize Trump voters, he's also trying to appeal to some swing voters, some voters who maybe want to see a more moderate agenda.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime.
Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us to look at the Cheesehead Revolution and what its status is now.